16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Welcome to 16 Minutes of CARE. Today I have Deborah Dunsire. She is the CEO of the Danish pharmaceutical company Lundbeck. And in this episode, I'm diving into sustainability and care for the planet at Lundbeck. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Isabel. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. Every company today is working on sustainability and care for the planet. It's becoming the law. There's a lot of regulations coming at us. You are a global company. You're represented in more than 50 countries. When you look at sustainability efforts, which country, in your opinion, is really taking the forefront?
Well, I think the Scandinavian countries have really been pushing the forefront for a long time, and I think Europe as a continent is really moving the fastest, and that's great to see. So we're a part of that journey.
Yes. I hear from a lot of business leaders that they do want to make an effort in terms of sustainability. But since COVID, we've been going through a lot of crises, and sometimes the sustainable choices don't become the first choice. How do you manage all of the challenges that you are facing at Lundbeck?
There are a lot of changes going on, and I think as we've considered what happened with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the change in the supply of natural gas into Europe, we all had to very quickly make an agile shift to be able to continue business. And so indeed, we did have a year where the carbon emissions from our plants went up because we had to use more oil. And that is just the reality of managing a crisis situation. But of course, what one does is then immediately start to look for how do we get back to a better approach. And that brings innovation too.
I can imagine. What are the biggest efforts that you're making now? You already do waste reduction, you work on energy saving solutions. Where do you see the biggest next step?
For us, the biggest step that we need to take now is working on what we call the Scope 3 emissions. So that's working with our supply chain, which is about 80% of our carbon footprint as a global entity, and working with suppliers, over 17,000 of them, to see how we can be a positive driver for their strategies on reducing emissions. We've done a lot within our own plants. So really between 2006 and now, we've reduced the carbon footprint from our own production facilities by 80%, and we continue to take that down. But as I've said, the biggest number of emissions come from outside. So working with those suppliers is the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. You have said that you want to be carbon neutral by 2050.
Yes.
That seems an awful long way ahead of us. That's what most companies actually set as date. Do you believe it should be faster, and is it possible to be faster?
We would very much like it to be faster. All of us, I believe, as we look at the climate changes happening around us faster and faster, we know that it has to happen faster. For us, as I've said, we do work very much on our internal emissions, but for a goal to be achieved by 2050, we rely on other industries, like, for instance, the airline industry that does some of our air freight transport, or the shipping industry that ships medicines around the world, to also have the true innovation that will take them towards being carbon neutral. So we continue to strive, we continue to work with our suppliers, but a lot has to happen in the world with other industries moving together for that single goal to be achieved.
It's a very complex process, I understand. One of the critics I sometimes get when I talk about care for the planet is that people say, why should we care? Because yes, we can have the Green Deal in Europe, but if the rest of the world doesn't follow, it will never happen. How do you react to that?
Well, I say we are one planet, so there is no isolation possible. And so I believe that as we take those steps forward and we show that great business can be done in a different way, as we drive the utilization of green energy, prices do come down, and that enables the use of green energy in other places in the world, and indeed starts to make it a better economic choice. So I think change always comes from the leaders, and we need to lead, because without leadership, the world will simply crumble.
Exactly. So again, it's about leadership. I fully agree. According to the Climate Disclosure Project, they assess more than 13,000 companies worldwide on climate change. Lundbeck got an A score, and it's placed amongst the 1.5% of best scoring companies globally. So Lundbeck is really making an effort, and it's assessed by them. How important is it for a company to be compared to others, to be part of these lists? Does it matter?
Well, I think in life, competition does matter. Think about sprinters. Usain Bolt competed and won, and great competition drives great steps forward. So each competitor looks at what has been done and thinks how they can improve. So I do believe that competition and measurement is good. I also believe as a business principle that what gets measured gets done. And so being measured against standards sets goals and targets that holds people accountable. Mm-hmm. So I'm a great believer in measurement. Mm-hmm.
According to a lot of research, about 42% of all campaigns and all communication about sustainability can really be considered greenwashing. And due to that, a lot of consumers and civilians have disconnected from the subject. Should brands be more honest about where they are, and what is your opinion about this?
I think a lack of transparency can only hurt. So I would like to see brands, companies being very honest about the challenges, about solutions that they've found. Transparency is critical for us to be making progress. So I would very much like to see more of it.
But transparency is also a new kind of leadership, because companies used to be black boxes for the ones who didn't work there. How difficult is it as a leader to be transparent about what goes well, but maybe also about what goes wrong?
I think that we're learning how to be more transparent, how to make accessible where we are and what we do. Some of that's driven by regulation, and of course we have the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive coming out of the EU, which is very long, very cumbersome, and very bureaucratic, but it does drive metrics for transparency that we all need to strive to meet. And I think that levels the playing field in a lot of ways. So while there is a lot to do and a lot more work created, I believe that it will be a positive, because it will create that level of transparency, and that will drive change.
Mm-hmm. The CARE framework is really about having a balanced model, care for people, care for planet, but of course also prosperity. Where in the past companies were really focused mainly on making profit, today, I strongly believe that it should be a balanced model in which people, planet, and prosperity are equal. Companies are always under pressure to make profit. How do you do this as a CEO to balance out those three factors?
I think that to be a sustainable business in today's world requires that. So the the profit being made will only be sustainable if we are great members of the community and we do take care of people both in our company and outside it, but also if we together can work on changing the outcome for our planet. So I think it's taking the long view that enables one to say it is essential for the business long-term sustainability to take care of all of those three aspects.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel pressure from the short term, from shareholders, from the stock exchange markets, from to make profit and to maybe sometimes cut corners, or are you allowed to see the long term?
Well, I think particularly in Denmark, we have the model of foundation ownership. So 70% of our company is owned by the Lundbeck Foundation. And they take a view, the company has been in existence over 100 years. Their view is we need to be existing in the next 100 years. So they do take a long view. Of course, they also demand performance. But that gives us a basis for a long-term view. But what's really interesting in the current days is the public shareholders are also beginning to set demands that we demonstrate that we are able to care for people and the planet also. So I think about BlackRock, one of the major holders of equity around the world, Norge Bank, another major holder of equities around the world, are setting very clear frameworks that they want to drive companies to invest behind the planet and people.
It's true. Change is coming.
Yeah.
It might be a bit slow, but it's definitely coming. So I do believe that it's the only way forward. What are for you the biggest challenges to become more sustainable and to really go ahead and with your ecological investments? What is the biggest challenge?
You know, for us within our business, one of the things that we focus on is circularity, and so we recycle a lot of the organic solvents that are used in the chemistry to make medicines. We can do more of that. There's always the low-hanging fruit, and we recycle now almost 80% of our solvents. That last 20% can be more challenging, but we keep innovating around the processes. So, for instance, one of the things that we use is palladium. We've found a mechanism to recycle about 75%. But the more you've done, the harder the next bit is. But we can keep innovating around that. One of the other areas of circularity for us as a pharmaceutical company is recycling of primary packaging. We may pack in plastic blister packs or bottles. Those can't be recycled if they've touched a medicine. So how do we think creatively? How do we innovate around managing that aspect of circularity? And then outside of our walls, where about 80% of our emissions sit in our supply chain, working with suppliers is going to be the most impactful thing we can do for the vast amount of our carbon emissions. So when we do a request for a proposal from multiple suppliers, one of the considerations is that suppliers' activities on their carbon footprint. Are they active in reducing their carbon footprint? What is their carbon footprint? So not just the cost of what we have to pay for them to supply us, but how that supply is generated for us is important. So for instance, we have clinical research organizations that help us field our clinical trials in multiple different countries around the globe. A clinical trial organization that we work with that has their people using electric vehicles as opposed to gasoline-powered vehicles, that might be a factor that weighs into the many factors that we will consider. And that's how we continue to drive change within our supply chain.
technology is definitely helping and innovation is definitely helping. One of the things I also read is that, for instance, there's a lot of digital consultations now also with, for instance, with doctors. Is that something that you will continue as well?
Yes. You know, obviously doctors will choose whether they use that. And I think it is a very positive thing on the people side that it makes care more accessible for patients. We also, within our clinical trials, are trying to use that for making clinical trials more accessible to patients. One of the key things that we think about in sustainability is that diversity. Are we getting diverse populations included when we test our medicines? And using digital technologies that allow consultations over a distance, that people don't have to travel to a particular site, can open up that diversity of access to the clinical trial, as well as having an impact for the carbon footprint of the clinical trial.
Totally. And that's actually related to empathy, by showing more empathy to everybody who needs access to healthcare and mental healthcare. Totally. We are again already at the last question, Deborah. What is your biggest dream, if you think about care for the planet, that you would still personally like to realize at Lundbeck?
The first thing I'd love to see, and it's maybe not just for Lundbeck, is the passion that we have at Lundbeck to be replicated around the world, because we need to work together as a planet. My second passion for us personally at Lundbeck is to see access to medicine more equitably globally, particularly in low and middle income countries, and that's something that we're working actively on.
Great. That's a beautiful dream that you are going to realize. I'm pretty sure about it. Thank you so much, Deborah, for joining 60 Minutes of Care. Thank you at home for watching. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.